welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
As a church, we've been speaking quite a bit the last while about maturity and what that means and growing mature and maturing on various levels. And maturity has a lot to do with the way in which we make our decisions, our everyday, day-to-day decisions. How do we react and respond in certain situations? Maturity is all about that. Maturity is about what goes on the inside as we process the decisions that we're working with every day. And the reality is that we probably, in our day-to-day lives, make more financial decisions than any other decisions. As you were speaking about the biggest decisions you've had to make, I don't know if you maybe verbalized it as such, but if you go back and you ask yourself, was it a financial decision? It probably was. Financial decisions that we make every day are decisions like, where am I going to live? What do I study? Am I going to study? What am I going to have for lunch? What job should I take? What shoes should I wear? What Bible do I read? Am I going on missions? Am I going to the family camp? How many people will I invite to my wedding? When must I get married? Should I get married? When should I get married? Where should I get married? Am I right, ladies? These are good questions to be asking. All of those which are financial decisions. They're all decisions which have an incredibly strong financial element towards them. And as you were thinking and talking through this, the decisions, the big decisions you've had to make, and I don't know kind of exactly what decisions you've each had to make, whether you said it or not, the vast majority of those decisions had a serious, significant financial implication. And I'm wanting us this evening to talk a little bit about our finances, even as we did yesterday morning. I want to encourage you that weren't there, make sure you get the copies of that. And we've got that finance seminar recording that we did 2 years ago. I really think it was a fantastic time together and some incredible content. And that CD, there are a couple, I think, still left, and we'll order more in the week. But for the rest of the month as well, they'll be on special price. So I think they're normally 50 Rand or something, and you can get them for 30 Rand, or you can just download the same stuff off the internet for free as well. But I want to encourage you, dig into that and trust God really to speak to you, because every decision we make in life has a strong, significant financial element towards it. And it's so important that we learn to have a healthy relationship with our finances, in the same way that we need to have a healthy relationship with the people around us, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with our classmates, with our spouses, with the food that we eat. We need to have a healthy relationship. With our finances, we need to have a healthy relationship with the way in which we conduct our finances. And I think Michal may have said something to that extent in the offering this morning as well. Or this afternoon, sorry. My clock is all messed up still at the moment. But I'd like us to turn to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read some passages from Luke this afternoon. And I want to encourage you, go look at Luke chapter 16 to 18 in the week. Just take a bit of time. It's not going to take you very long to read it, but go read those three chapters and just trust God to reveal something about the heart that He has for us towards our finances and the way in which we conduct ourselves around our finances. And in Luke chapter 16, before we read, let's just bow our heads one more time and just consecrate the rest of this evening to the Lord as well. So Father, we thank You for this afternoon. Lord, we thank You for this weekend that You have given us just to rest and to be refreshed, Lord, because there's a whole week ahead. But we thank You that right now, God, even before we enter into that week, we can sit still and sit under Your word. We pray that Your word would come and wash and cleanse and refresh our souls, Lord. Lord, we know that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from Your mouth. And we pray that, Holy Spirit, even as we sit under Your word now, that words would proceed from Your mouth and bring nourishment to our souls, Lord. Father, I declare my total dependence upon You and say, Lord, that it's only by Your Spirit, Lord. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by Your Spirit. And pray that Holy Spirit, you would use the words I speak to bring transformation to the hearts and minds of those who hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 16, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward. Before we carry on, let's just pause there quickly. In church circles, a lot of time when we talk about finances, we use this word stewardship. It's important that we just stop a little bit and ask ourselves why that word and what does it mean? Stewardship very simply just means to manage that which belongs to somebody else. That's what stewardship is. This man was a steward. He had a master, and he was in charge of a certain realm of his master's life, his master's goods, and he had to manage those goods on his master's behalf. That's what stewardship is. In exactly the same way, God entrusts to us relationships of various type, which we need to steward. He entrusts to us 24 hours a day of time, which we need to steward. He entrusts to us certain gifts and certain talents we need to steward. And he entrusts to us in our life certain physical material possessions, money that we need to steward in a certain way. And it's a healthy understanding just to stop and look back and say, God, it's not mine, it's yours. And I'm just looking after this on your behalf. And once we settle that in our heart, it releases so much because we understand the question now isn't, what do I think is the right way to spend it? The question is, God, how do you want me to spend your money? God, how do you want me to manage your money? How do you want me to look after your money? God, what do you want to do with what is yours? And that just brings such a financial release in our hearts and in our minds when we settle that in our hearts and we understand, God, it's not my money anyway. God, you give and you take away. If I have or if I don't have, as long as I'm being obedient to you, God, you're more interested in that than what's going on in my bank account. You're looking at the obedience with which I'm managing that which is going on in my bank account. And we spoke about that at length a couple of years ago on that CD. I just wanted to mention that principle to us. So then a steward, this guy is about to get fired. He gets an accusation against him. His boss hears this guy is not looking after his stuff very well, so he's about to fire him. And the steward says within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I'm going to get fired. I cannot dig. I'm lazy. I'm ashamed to beg. I'm proud. I have resolved what to do. That when I'm put out of the stewardship, in other words, when I lose my job, I'm going to have a place to stay. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and he said to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. So the steward said to him, take your bill, take your account, sit down and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. Everyone get what's just happened here. This guy's about to get fired because he's not managing his master's goods well. So he just enforces the point and he manages his master's good really badly. He calls everyone who owes his boss something. He calls him and he says, I'm giving you all bulk discount today. It's your lucky day. You thought you owed 100,000 bucks. Good news, you don't. You only owe 50,000 bucks. You thought you owed 100,000 good news. You only owe 80,000. He just gives everyone just random discounts because he can. He still has that. He's still the manager. He hasn't been fired yet. He knows he's about to get fired. So maybe masters amongst us, when you're about to fire someone, fire them quickly, you know. Don't give them a chance to go read scripture. But this is one of those parables that every time I've read it has totally confused me. Because how would you expect the master to react? This guy whose stuff it is, it's his account, he's owed 100,000 bucks. Now this Paluka who is about to fire comes and writes off all the debt of the people that owe him something. How would you expect that master to react? I would have expected that master to be livid. I would have expected that master to call him close and say, you lazy and wicked servant, now I thought I was going to fire you, now I know I'm going to fire you. And then this parable would have all made sense to me. But scripture so beautifully does, it doesn't make sense to me because I'm just a human. Because the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. In other words, the master said to him, well done. You've just taken away a whole bunch of my wealth. Well done. And he's not being sarcastic about it. He says, well done. You've understood something here about money. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of the light. And then Jesus says again, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Yesterday morning, I spoke about that. I think Michal might have mentioned this. The whole principle here that Jesus is trying to drive home is the money that you and I have is simply a tool that is placed in our hands to accomplish the purpose in our heart. That's what our money is. It's a tool he gives us to accomplish the purpose that is placed in our hearts. Jesus says to this man, he says, take your money and buy people with it. Make friends with your money. If friends is what you're after, if influence is what you're after, if you're wanting a place to go and be able to stay, make sure your money is driving towards that point. In this case, he actually says, make sure the person who's working for, who you're working for, his money is establishing that purpose for you. And we spoke about that a little bit yesterday morning, so I'm not going to repeat all of that. Just wanting us to just get the feel of this passage as we continue in it. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? In these three verses, there are just three elements that I want to highlight, things we spoke about in the past. Once again, I just want to highlight them because, as I said yesterday morning, we don't speak about finances a lot in this church for a bunch of reasons, although we should, because Jesus speaks about finances a lot. And as we said just now, pretty much every decision in our lives we take is a financial decision because it's got a strong financial component towards it. We should speak about finances a lot more. But Jesus says here, he says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. One of the biggest stumbling blocks we as Christians have when it comes to our finances is we're afraid of money because money is going to corrupt us. I've heard some people pray, God, I don't really want to be successful because if I'm Christians praying this, God, if I'm really successful, I know that means I'm going to be rich. And if I'm rich, I can't follow you. Because money corrupts, power corrupts. But Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in a lot. If you're unjust in a little, you'll be just. You'll be unjust in a lot. You see, money doesn't corrupt. Power doesn't corrupt. It just amplifies what's on the inside. And that's why it's so great that as a young age, and none of you are earning millions yet, and if you are, you're not tithing, but we'll talk about that later. At a point before and God releases wealth upon us, that we can settle some things in our hearts, because God's more interested in us being faithful with a little bit than being unfaithful with a lot. And he'd rather have us work through time and work through in time and where we are now, so we come to a place where we are faithful in a little bit so he can entrust us with a lot. God's wanting to entrust his church with lots, with lots. I remember a couple of years ago, I've always been a bit of a sports junkie and I've always been a bit of a money junkie and studied what I studied because of that. And those two came together one day, and I remembered I was watching or reading a thing about Manchester United, the soccer club. And I was reading about their turnover in a year. And I was looking at the stadium and the facilities they have and just reading a whole, just some reason, I couldn't remember why, I was just reading like a whole bunch of background around the soccer club. Something in my heart stirred, just saying, God, how wrong is this? That the soccer club, the temples of this world, if you will, are these beautiful, glorious places, and your church is just stumbling along. How are we going to make a difference in the world if the soccer clubs are the places of honor and the church is the place of dishonor, just in the ways of the world? Remember, around that same time, I was driving to the airport getting to the long-term parking there. And on the way, you have to drive past Caesar's Palace, or whatever that thing is on your left-hand side. You look at that building and you look at everything that's going on in there, and then you ask yourself, where is the church? Why don't churches look like that? Why aren't churches houses filled with glory and honor? And I believe God's wanting to release that upon the church again. The only problem is he can't, because we can't. Because if he does bring wealth and honor upon the church, you know what's going to reflect on the church? Really not well. Because if you read about a guy at a casino who stole a whole bunch of money, you expect the guy at the casino to steal a whole bunch of money. You read about a guy in a church stealing a whole bunch of money, suddenly that's front page of all the newspapers. And there's so much that God first has to settle in our hearts so that he can bring us to the place where I believe his church would be and he would have his church be. But that means we're going to have to settle some things in our hearts. And one of them is we can't be afraid of money. I want to encourage us as Christians. I want to encourage you. If there's a fear of success and money in your heart, trust God to deliver you from that. Say, God, rather help me to be faithful in the 7 cents I have right now. Because if I'm faithful in the little, I'm going to be faithful in much. The next verse there, he says, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? 2 years ago when we presented this finance seminar, this is the one thing that really struck me. This is the one verse that sort of just changed my whole view on money. Up until that point, I'd seen money as a gift from God. I'd seen money as something beautiful, money as something that we're meant to use and we're meant to... And pause that thought right there, because I've got this little beam flashlight thing going in front here and it's going to haunt me later on. I'm going to ask the ushers just as I speak to pass the offering bags around, because I've forgotten again. It's becoming a habit. So talking about money, you can, if you feel led to give, you're welcome to give, but please don't feel compelled to give. But I'm just going to do that, because otherwise I'm going to forget again. And I've been forgetting, and I've already been reminded twice this service by people who are committed to the finance of this church. Dankie Henning en die ander. But if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, 2 years ago when we presented this finance seminar for the first time, and yesterday's content was different to the last times, and I was praying about this money thing. God, what do we share? God, what is really your heart that we're meant to hold before the church? Because I understood it at that stage. What had just happened is Heinrich had just moved to Pretoria, just moved to Johannesburg, and up to that point I'd been most involved with the students, and I got involved with some of the older folk in church. And what I saw was scary. Not out of character, not out of people, just simply because I began to work with people who were earning money, and I realized we were biblically illiterate around money. We just didn't know what God had to say about money and about finances and the way in which people was using their money. I was just looking at this and speaking to some people and realizing, yara, ons het 'n probleem. I started praying, God, what are you wanting to say? And the one verse that jumped out at me more than any other was this verse 11. If you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? It hit me like a ton of bricks between the eyes when I realized that in this city as a church, we're praying for a whole bunch of stuff that really matters. As individuals in our lives, we're hopefully trusting God for a whole bunch of stuff that really matters. And you know the key to releasing that in our life? What are we doing with our money? That's exactly what Scripture says. That which really matters, what is it that God's looking at in our lives before he releases that in over us? Before he brings us to that which really matters? He's asking a simple question. What are you doing with your money? How are you managing? How are you stewarding your money? Since then, I've obviously looked at money different. I've stewarded money different. I've prayed about money different. I've spent money different. I've given money different. Because I've understood that, God, there's some things in my heart that I believe are true riches. And none of that has anything to do with money. But it's got everything to do with people and about the kingdom of God. And this verse, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, in money, who will give to you the true riches? The implication is not God. So I want to encourage you, if you're sitting here, begin to take your money matters seriously. Begin to budget. Some of you don't even budget yet. What does that mean? It means you go and you sit down and you write a list of your intended priorities. What do I want to be important to me? And you make sure your budget shows what's important to your heart. And how do you do that? Well, at the end of the month, you don't take a budget, you take a statement. What have I actually spent my money on? And you see, does my budget and my statement, do they align with one another? You see, your budget is an indication of your intended priorities, and your statement is an indication of your actual priorities. You know, those of you who are married here, do you love your wife? Well, how do you know if you love your wife? What does your budget say? Does your budget say you love her or not? If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will trust to you the true riches? How do you know if you've been faithful? Well, some of us don't even know if we've been faithful, because if God come and knock on your door at the end of the month and he said, listen, what did you do with the money I gave you last month? And you're like, I don't actually know. That's not good stewardship. Can you imagine if you're my financial advisor, you're my banker, whatever, and I find some money somewhere and I bring you the money, I say, I want you to steward, look after this money for me. 6 months down the line, we sit around the table again. I say, what did you do with my money? And you say, I don't know. I spent it on what? I can't remember. You think you're going to get any more money from me to look after? But somehow we think that as bad stewards, God is going to continue to give us more and entrust stewardship to us. And I want to challenge you this afternoon. Let's get serious about the way in which we steward our money. I'm not talking about serious and somber. I'm talking about just be diligent about it. If God comes to you at the end of the month and he asks you, what have you done with your money? You should say, God, it's easy. Let me just open the spreadsheet quickly. Here. This is what I spent the money on. You know what I realized when we started doing this with people in the church, when I started doing this in my life? There are a whole bunch of things we didn't even know we were spending money on. Some people would put their budgets down and we'd look at the budget and then we'd say, okay, what did you actually spend? And their eyes would be this big because they didn't actually know they were spending money on the stuff they were spending money on. It's amazing how it just slips under the radar. I want to encourage you, get diligent around that. It's going to transform your money, your finances, and the way you deal with money. Why is it so important? It's not important for the money. And this is the one thing I want us to click about that. It's important because this is the test that God uses to release the true riches. Why? I don't know, but that's what he's chosen. He's going to only give us the true riches once we become faithful with our money. In verse 12, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? The key to promotion in life is faithful service. God isn't going to promote you. God isn't going to give you your own. Once again, the implication is there, not God. The question, who's going to give it to you? Well, not me. How do you get your own vision, your own dream, your own whatever it may be that you're trusting God for? Well, find somebody else who's got one and start serving. Start giving of yourself into that vision, into that dream. You know, if you're really trusting God for a house with a big lawn, go find someone with a lawn and mow it. Be faithful in what is somebody else's. If you want your own business, find somebody with a business and serve faithfully. Now, how do you know if you're serving somebody faithfully? It's not if you're doing what you want to do. It's if you're doing what they want you to do. That's the test of faithfulness. The test of faithfulness is, would they be doing what you were doing if they were in your shoes? In other words, are you doing what they'd be doing if they could do it? They were able physically to be there. That's a simple question of faithfulness. It's not, am I doing what I think is right? Am I doing what they think is right? How do you get your own? Well, you start by being faithful in what is another's. So that's all just the introduction. Getting to where I want us to be tonight. Verse 13 of Luke 16. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No, you can't. And the scary thing is how often as Christians we think we can. We don't even realize the tension that exists in this area in our own lives. And it's amazing to me. This is the only area where God would compare himself to any other god. The only time that he would sort of humor us in our foolishness and say, you can't serve us both. You've got God and you've got mammon. Pick one. I'm not only talking about our lives. I'm not talking about my whole life I'm serving God or my whole life I'm serving mammon. I trust most of us here, we've settled that one. But I'm talking about our day-to-day decisions, our day-to-day, where are we going? How are we going? That day in and day out, we're challenged by this simple question and this simple illustration that God says to us, you cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. How do I know which one I'm serving in any given situation? It's pretty simple. Which one makes the final call on my life decisions? Those decisions we were speaking about earlier, yes, they've each got a financial implication. But who makes the final call? How do I know who I'm serving? Whoever makes that call. It's amazing how quickly we become carnally or fleshly minded in our day-to-day decisions. You sit with some people and they're praying about a job. The number one concern is, which one's giving me the biggest pay packet? Which city am I going to work in? Well, where are the best job opportunities? Which company am I going to go to? Well, which one has the best financial provision for their employees? You know, every one of those decisions is a carnal, fleshly decision. We're meant to pray differently. We're meant to think differently in the world. And one of the reasons I believe Christ speaks so much about money is because the world speaks so much about money. And we get so programmed to think and talk and even pray about a certain way and a certain worldview when it comes to our money. And God's at pains to say, no, 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 no. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. See, few things test and reveal our faith as directly as our own financial decisions. If your money isn't testifying of your love for Christ, then maybe you should reevaluate that. You know, your money, your financial decisions, are they testifying of your obedience to Christ? Because it's a faith walk. That's why we call it faith. It means I don't have all the answers. I don't know what have all the understanding. The sums don't add up. But in the midst of that, I still know God has said. So these sums don't make sense, but that's okay because I know God makes sense. And I'm going to follow him and I'm going to do that which he leads. Hebrews 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. See, faith is not about what I can see. It's about what God has already seen. And just trusting him and saying, God, this doesn't make sense, but that doesn't matter. See, with God, it is impossible. It is impossible to serve God and mammon. It is impossible to please him without faith. Faith doesn't happen when, it all makes sense now. Faith happens when, God, it doesn't make any sense, but still. That's when faith happens. Faith happens when we sit down and we understand what the will and the purpose of God is. I want to encourage you guys. That is the single most important prayer for you to pray in your life. God, what do you want? What do you want? Yesterday morning, before we started with the finance seminar, I had everyone sit in their little circle things again. And the question I threw out at them, I said, talk a little bit and then sort of, as you're talking, whittle it down. And I want you to come up with one, maybe two sentences summing up what you want to achieve in this life. Brilliant question. I'd encourage you, go home, go pray about that. Try and write that down. God, just for where I am now and my understanding, I know it's probably going to change over time, but for where I am now, what is it that I want to achieve with my life? Whittle that down to one or two sentences at most. And then I pray, and my faith would be that for those of you who are part of this church, that words like God's glory, his fame, his renown, disciples, lives changed, lives transformed would be in there. Those would be sort of the core of the two sentences. More than happy family, big house, good job. God, at the end of, I want people to remember me not for the peripheral stuff, but for the core stuff. And I want to encourage us, go ask that question. But as we're asking that question, God, what is it that you want me to do? Faith only kicks in upon the answer to that question. Before that, it's vain hope. Before then, God, I would really like it if you wanted me to do this. So now I'm trusting God for that. Why? Because I want God to want me to want that. No. God, I'm stepping away from that. And I'm saying, God, what is it that you want? That's where faith starts. Once we've heard the voice of God, and we step out. When Peter's about to walk on the water, what allows him to walk on the water? Not, God, I'd like to walk on the water. But God saying, yes, come. Before that, you could have tried. You would have sings just a clip right there. And we laugh at Peter often because he drowned a little bit. You know, he gulped some seawater. How many of you have walked on water? And then we forget the B part of the story, which isn't in the story, but it's part of the story. He walked back to the boat. Either that or Jesus carried him. I don't know which one's better. But somehow he got from half drowning back in the boat. And he lived to tell the story. And we love to focus on that little failure, little bit where he took his eyes off Jesus. There's so much more to the story than that one little bit right there. See, the faith thing sometimes comes in a very practical way, this serving God and serving mammon. Sometimes we have discussion with people, just don't even know if they're here, just don't even know actually who they are. Someone just asked me about this. People in church, unmarried couple, students, I think they were, who'd moved in together. Started talking to them about them. Maybe not the best idea. You know what the answer is? We can't afford financially to move out. We're saving money this way. Do you know what my simple answer is? You can't afford not to move out. You've got to decide what is important here. Who are you serving, God or mammon? In the same way, that illustrates the tension that you and I go through every day in every decision we make. Who am I serving, God or mammon? Am I serving that which makes financial sense, or am I serving that which makes God sense? God, I know that you've said we shouldn't, and that settles it. Financially, it makes perfect sense. Spiritually, it makes no sense. Who am I serving, God, or am I serving mammon? And serving God is, it's about learning to walk in obedience to him. It's irrespective of the potential financial implications. That's what serving God's about in this sense. Serving God or serving mammon? Serving God says, God, I'm going to do what you said, irrespective of the financial implication. Like Andy Stanley's dad says, Dr. Charles Stanley, he says, obey God and leave all the consequences to him. I love that. Obey God, leave the consequences to him. Financially, exactly the same. God, you've said, okay, doesn't make sense, but I know you've said. I don't know you've said just because I think it's a really good idea, but I know you've said because I've prayed about it and people around me are testifying to this is a God thing. Let's just get that right. It's not just a God said to me on my own little Rambo pluck. But my small group, we're in agreement. This is a God thing. Scripture's in agreement with us. Some of you are sitting here and you're saying, you know, I can't afford to do Bible school. I can't afford to go on the family camp. Time-wise, I can't afford to go to small group. I want to say to you, you can't afford not to. There are some things in our lives that are just simple priorities that we need to understand that if God's there, I need to be there. I can't afford to not be obedient to Christ. Why? Because I don't serve money. I serve God. Who makes my decisions? That's who I serve. Second question that I want to throw out at us this morning, this evening, afternoon, when is it? It's donker, okay? A certain ruler comes and he asks Jesus and he's saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? I think many of us know the story. So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Simple question that I want to hold before us this evening. I don't believe necessarily Jesus is saying this to you. I just want to ask, what if he did? What if you were that rich young ruler standing before Christ? I think the message, the heading and the message for this passage is Jesus counsels a rich man. It's something that I don't expect you to be able to answer now, but a question that I'd love you to talk about in a small group as you get together in this week and pray through in this week, just in your own quiet time. Say, God, what if you came and said that to me? God, what if you came and you said to me, whatever financial security I have, whatever financial hope I have, whatever assuredness in this life I have, what if you said, give it up and go to Angola? Give it up and go to Tanzania. Give it up and go stay in Shoshanguve. Give it up and go wherever, somewhere else, not here. God, what is that is in my heart? And I know some of your hearts, God's going to show you, you've got the most amazing hearts. I know we've got some incredible people here. But I know when I start asking that question, little red lights start going on all over the place. And I realize, God, that I love you, I cherish you, I honor you, I respect you, I lift your name up high, God, but I don't always serve you. Because a lot of the time, I'm serving mammon. I'm serving finance. I'm serving that which makes sense in my head and not that which your spirit is leading me to. God, you need to come and do some heart surgery, Lord. You need to come and cut away. Not because there's anything necessarily wrong with that, except that it's causing me to choose away from you and not to choose towards you. And I want to ask that simple question for us. Just go and pray about it and say, God, what if? What if? What if this whole career I had planned out? What if everything I've got going for me? He said, leave that, God. If that was what you asked of me, God, how would I react? How would I respond? And then allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you in whichever way he deems fit. As we just become honest before him, and even in your small groups, as we become honest before one another. Because we can't serve God and mammon. Not my idea, not a good idea, not a nice book we recently read. Jesus himself just standing up. Guys, if there's one choice you're going to have to regularly make in this life, this is the one. And I think all of us can relate to it. We've all been around the block enough to know that money does make the world go round. But maybe we should remember God made the world. Over all of it, he is still in control, and he's got such an incredible blessing laid up for us if we're willing to choose his way every time. If we're willing to say, God, this doesn't make sense. I'm probably going to ruin myself, but I trust you. I know you've said, and that's all that matters. Can we stand this afternoon? And want us to read one last passage. It's one of those verses that so resonates in my heart, and I believe in many of your hearts probably as well. Joshua 24. And he's standing there, and there are a whole bunch of people just being all stupid around him, as we tend to be. And Joshua gets up and he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, or mammon, whatever it is. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love the statement of intent that he makes there. I love the statement of intent that doesn't say, I'm never going to fail, I'm never going to make a wrong decision. But there's just something in my heart that says, God, I will always choose to serve you. And at the same time, I believe that's a prayer for the Holy Spirit to come and empower us to that end. Holy Spirit, every decision, show me. Not what is the money way, what is the make sense way. And don't get me wrong, sometimes God's ways make a lot of sense to us. And then it's easy to follow. But a lot of time, they don't make sense. But then it's not less God. Then it's just more faith. And I want to ask if you want to pray this prayer with me. It's just a prayer that I'm praying again. Lord, as for me and my house, there's a ton of stuff going on, God. But we will serve the Lord in the midst of it and through it. Come what may, Lord, you give and take away. You prosper and your hand gives, your hand withholds. God, but I'm not going to be swayed by finance. I'm not going to live a life that's carnal to this world. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know what the context is that's given in? It's given in the context of money. It's given in the context where he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Don't worry about the clothes you're going to put on. After these things, people of the world, the Gentiles and the rulers of the Gentiles, they worry about that stuff. You don't worry, Christians, you don't worry about that stuff. What do you worry? You worry about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What are these things? The food and the clothes, the place to stay. He'll take care of that. We will make our concern to say, God, let your kingdom come. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So if tonight with me, you want to pray that prayer and say, God, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe even just as you're speaking, you realize that you've made some mammon decisions in your life. You need to repent of those mammon decisions. You need to say, God, I'm sorry, I missed it. God, I chose the way of money over the way of God. I chose that job because it was the best job, or in the sense of most money. I chose that career, God, because it was the most money. I chose that husband or that wife because it was the most money. Bring that before God and say, God, just come and bring a healing and a restoration in my heart around that. You know what I'm trusting God for? I'm trusting God that it's beginning to happen already, and I love it. That we start moving to a place when we start looking for job applications. Before we do that, we phone our pastors for wherever we are, and we say, where are we looking to plant the next church? Where's the place that I can go and serve the most? And even more important, we start going to God and we say, God, where do you want to use me? God, which company, which city, which business, which industry? That's going to define my decision, God. Not the paycheck. God, the paycheck's irrelevant. As long as you have said, God. As long as you're leading. Whether it's the biggest or the smallest paycheck, God, that's not my focus. Crazy thing I found, how often that turns out to be the biggest paycheck. When we just come with a pure heart before God, huh? He smiles upon that and he blesses that. And even if it's not the biggest paycheck, it's definitely the most rewarding. But I'm trusting God that he's going to stir that in our hearts as young people. God, which house must I buy? Which neighborhood, God, do you want me to react to reach? God, where are the broken neighbors, God, and put me right in the middle of them so I can begin to minister life into their lives? God, because I'm not here to serve the ways of the world. I'm here to serve a living King. So if you want to pray that with me, I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and raise your hands. Just say, Jesus, it's for me and my house. God, I'm going to serve you. Father, I thank you, God, just for the incredible privilege this afternoon of being able to speak, God, about money, Lord. Not in the sense that, God, we so sadly often see, God, we're trying to raise more money and get more money and convince people that, God, that they haven't put in enough in the offering bag and trying to, God, just take a dry towel and just wring it even more to get just the last penny out of God. You know, Lord, that's the last thing on my heart this morning. But God, I just pray that you would come and make us servants of the Most High God, Lord. That every decision we make, God, we would be followers of Christ, servants of Christ, Lord. Lord, we repent for the times when we've served money, the times we've made those decisions based on the rands and cents, Lord. We repent for that. God, we know you're not oblivious to the money, God, and often you're going to lead us to consider the cost, Lord. You're going to lead us to look at the finances, to know what we're in for, God, but God, that can't be the decisive factor. And we pray, Lord, that you will come and turn our hearts, Lord. Come and turn our hearts that we may serve you. Holy Spirit, come and breathe on every decision. Come and show us every time, God, we're walking carnally in the ways of the flesh and not in the ways of the Spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, empower us to be stewards. God, who are faithful in unrighteous mammon, that you may entrust to us the true riches, Lord. Show us, Lord God, how to manage our money well. Holy Spirit, empower us to serve God and not money. Right now, we come and we break every hold money has on us, Lord. Whether a fear of poverty, Lord, or whether a fear of wealth, Lord, every spiritual hold, God, that it's had over any individual, Lord God, we just cut off now in Jesus' name. We say, no longer will we serve the rands and cents. No longer will we serve the dollar signs. No longer will we follow that, Lord. We will follow the leading of the Lord Most High. Lord, that you can come and say to us, like you said to your disciples, don't take a money bag. Don't take a spare change of clothes. Just go. God, if we're open to hear that from you, if that's what you're saying to us, Lord. God, we know other times you spoke to them about finances and the importance of having God. So we understand you're not saying to all of us, leave everything, God. You're not saying to all of us, sell everything we have and give it to the poor. But Lord, we just want to be at a place where if you did say that to us, Lord, we would be able to respond with glad hearts, Lord, not sorrowful hearts. Glad to be counted worthy of following you, to be worthy of a calling. Just as you're standing, just in your own words, if there's anything on your heart that God's stirring, just take a moment or two and just respond to Him.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. Thank you.